series, The Gleanings in Genesis. I think the title I'll give my sermon today is Just Lot's Descent. Lot's Descent. In other words, how his life just got worse. And then I include in my title, Just Lot. Now that's the title of my sermon. And here's what I hope the lesson of it will be. We cannot look at an individual person who's engaged in a wicked lifestyle and necessarily judge them to be lost and going to hell. Lot, the example of Lot in the Old Testament, well, he's a pretty good bad example. I don't know how else to say it. Pretty good bad example of someone who just made bad decision after bad decision, carnal decision, non-spiritual decision, one right after another, and his life just got worse and worse. Of course, that never happens with God's children. Well, I'm fixing to tell you in a minute, Scott. Take a chair. First place we're going to read is in 2 Peter, if you want to turn to 2 Peter 2. I think this morning I would say that one of the purposes of the gospel of Christ, everybody I trust in here knows the gospel of Christ is not what gets you born again. It's not instrumental in getting someone born again. You must be born again before you'll be able to understand the scriptures. There's no doubt about that according to the Bible. But I tell you, one function of the Word of Bible, the one function of the gospel of Christ, is that the child of God in their life can make proper biblical scriptural decisions. And by so doing, honor God. People seeing a person living by a godly life, honor God, and by making those proper biblical decisions, deliver themselves from rack and ruin in their lives as they live. Would you agree with that? Parents, the whole time I was raising the boys, and I know I've told you all this, I told them all the time, I said, you know, I'm hard on you, and I'm after you all the time, and I'm lecturing you all the time, and I drove them nuts, and I know it. I said, the reason I'm after you is because one day you, John, Seth, are going to be the head of a household. You don't teach children. You teach them so that they'll one day be men and women and strong Christians that will lead their households according to the Word of God and deliver themselves from rack and ruin and destruction. Amen. Well, the same thing is true about the gospel of Christ for the child of God. That's your pastor's desire. Every pastor's desire is that the people would make strong, biblical, accurate, scriptural decisions and save themselves from heartache and woe and misery while they live and honor God. Lot didn't do that. He made a lot of bad decisions. Before we look in Genesis, let's read 2 Peter chapter 2, what the Bible says about him. I need to pray. This is, Lot made a bad decision and bad thing, and he did bad things and bad things happened. Okay, the last we see of Lot in the Old Testament, which is in Genesis 19, I believe it is. Yeah. He has no home. All his family is dead, burnt in the fires of Sodom and Gomorrah. All he has left is two daughters. He has no home, no family, no possessions. He is in a cave, and his daughters are with child by him. Hey, church. A child of God could not possibly do that. Right? A child of God did do it. It's astonishing. In fact, I am so glad. You know, there are two mentions of Lot in the New Testament. One of them, when Christ said, remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? She looked back. God said, don't look back. She looked back. Why is it God says, don't do something, and immediately, we want to do that? What is up with that? Human nature, that's what's up with that. The other mention of Lot is here in 2 Peter chapter 2. Read with me before we go to the Old Testament. Lot's descent. Lot did not get better and better and better. Lot got worse and worse and worse, but he was a child of God anyway. Can you say amen? Do God's children ever get worse and worse and worse? I mean, there's example after example in the Bible. What happened to Solomon, for heaven's sake? Boy, did he go off the deep end. Solomon go off the deep end? 900 women? That is off the deep end. That's off anybody's deep end. Let's just see you keep 900 women happy. Did I say that? I did not just say that. No man should try that. What every man ought to do is try to keep his wife happy as best he can according to the word of God. That's what a man ought to do. Same thing for a wife, obviously, but anyway. Okay. Did King Saul go off the deep end? He went off the deep end. Anyway, okay. Just Lot's descent. Peter here is talking about how God brings punishment on his children. Does God ever punish his children? Can the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience? Does the Bible talk about the wrath of God coming upon the children of disobedience? That the children of God that are involved in disobedience, can the wrath of God come upon them? I ask you, did the wrath of God come upon the children of Israel at the Jordan River at Kadesh Barnea? When they refused to enter the land of Canaan, did the wrath of God come upon them? Absolutely. What God say? All right, you're going to die in the wilderness. And the very next day they said, we're going. And the Lord said, nope, too late. Y'all remember that? That is used over and over in the New Testament as an example of what not to do. Not to provoke the Lord like that. So the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And guess who was living there just while that happened? Guess. Take a wild guess. Anyway. Turn the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, all that, verse 6. Verse 7 now. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. And delivered who? What's the next word in the Bible?
Just.
That does not mean only Lot, because he didn't deliver only Lot. He delivered Lot and his wife and two children, two daughters. That is saying that Lot was a just person in the sight of God, before God, even though his life was terribly wicked. Can you say amen to that, church? Does that kind of thing ever happen? Do God's just children ever live wicked lives? I'm going to ask you if you have ever. I have. I can't stand to think about it. You ever rebel against God? Ooh. So the Lord knows how to deliver people, and he delivered just Lot, vexed. Here's a description of Lot now, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So not only was he a just person, the filthy, and that word conversation there doesn't mean just talk, that means lifestyle. Lot's righteous soul, let me read the rest of this, okay. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, now there the Bible calls him righteous. He's called just and he's called righteous. Hey, did he live a righteous life? Well, not all the time. You'll see, here's what we're going to have to come to grips with. In the mind and purpose of God, on the eternal scale, due to the atonement of our Lord and Savior, because of what Christ did, and in the case of Lot, because of what Christ was going to do for him, Lot stood in the mind and purpose of God as perfectly righteous, just, and holy, even while he was living sometimes a wicked life. Can you say amen to that? My brothers and sisters, if that is not true, none of us are going to heaven. Deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, he lived in Sodom. Y'all, that was a bad idea. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So do you understand what that is saying? That even though Lot was there, and when we're going to read some of the description of his descent into wickedness, and there's very little evidence in the Old Testament that he felt so bad about it or that he experienced this, but the New Testament scriptures are explicitly clear that he was vexed with the wickedness of the society in which he lived. I am so glad that verse, that passage is in the New Testament, or we would be wondering about Lot. Okay, now, Genesis 13. Oh, me. My brothers and sisters, at some point, if we're going to learn the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are going to have to learn that people go to heaven in spite of the way they live. In fact, I think I'll go on record and say that every person that ever is going to heaven is going in spite of the way they have lived their lives. Even the best. Even the Apostle Paul felt himself to be the chief of sinners. Did you know? Here's something odd. It's very odd that the individual that sometimes is involved in the worst sin is the least aware of it. And then the individual that gets closer and closer and closer to Christ, walks closer and closer, denies themselves, draws nearer and nearer to God, and the light, the blinding light of the truth of Christ, they see themselves as horribly wicked the closer they get. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe Lot did some of that. Why did the Apostle Paul call himself the chief of sinners? If you were going to say, who would you say was worse, Lot or Paul? If you were going to say. Okay. Anyway. Okay. All right, in Genesis chapter 13, you remember I've told you that when Abraham came up out of Ur of the Chaldees, he was supposed to separate from his family, but he didn't do it. They came to Haran, lived in Haran. Okay, now he's got his, and by the way, Lot was Abraham's nephew, if I understand it correct. So Lot would have called Abraham Uncle Abraham, I think. Well, they come up out of Egypt, where they were down there for a while. They both kind of gotten wealthy down there, and they come up and they verse 5, I need your prayers. And Lot, Genesis 13, 5, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, and that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham and Lot. And Abraham said in verse 8, now, let be no strife between us, for we be brethren. Well, there says something. If we're brethren, as brothers and sisters in Christ, let's let there be no strife between us. Is not the whole land before thee? Verse 9. Tell what you, Abraham says, you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. You make up your mind, I'll go wherever you don't want to go. And what does Lot do? He lifts up his eyes and he sees the plain and how well watered it is. This is before God destroyed Sodom. Verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from another. That is, Abraham and Lot had a separation here. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Is it possible, my brothers and sisters, that Lot simply made an economic decision here? And was willing to draw near to wickedness in order to prosper financially? Verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, that is just a bald statement. You know, Sodom and what was going on in Sodom, and everybody in here knows what that was. The Lord says that is exceedingly wicked. It's irrelevant what the world says about it. God says it's exceedingly wicked. And Lot went over, headed that way. Now, at this point, he's just living in the environs of the city. I wonder if Lot was thinking, I got to make a living. And maybe Lot was thinking, it won't affect me. It won't rub off on me. It won't bother me. People think that all the time. You realize he's made a bad decision here? Okay. Now, Genesis 14. In Genesis 14, there's a battle between the kings of the cities of the plain there. There's this battle between the kings. And by this point, Lot is actually living in Sodom. So he's just making that slowly getting worse. And there's this battle between some kings. And that happened a lot back in those days, you know. And a king was a guy that ruled a city. And these kings got together and they were going to fight with these kings over here. And it just so happened that the king of Sodom got whipped in the battle, and all the people and the stuff that was in his city was taken captive and prey, and lo and behold, Lot and his family were involved in that. May I simply point out the obvious thing, that if Lot had not moved to Sodom, he would not have been captured in that battle. Amen. You know, we make bad choices. We make bad choices. Oh, I've made them. I confess it. We make bad choices, and they have consequences sometimes, don't they, y'all? Y'all, listen to me. Not eternal consequences. Y'all, this was a just man. A man whose soul was vexed by what he saw. Well, if his soul was vexed by what he saw, what should he have done? Gotten out. That's what he should have done. Okay. Let's read Genesis 14. Verse 10, this is the battle now. The vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. That is, they were defeated. And they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, the kings that won, and all their victuals. That's a good thing, victuals. You know, that's why people in the South talk about victuals. The Bible Belt. I'm very serious about that. That's why we talk about victuals. Anyway, all the victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, his nephew, who dwelt in Sodom. So he was living close to it, and then he moved in. One bad decision followed by another one. Now, wait a minute. Children of God just don't make that kind of bad decision, do they? And they took Lot, Abram's brother, and dwelt in Sodom and his goods and departed. So they're captured. You realize now Sodom and his... I'm sorry. Lot and his family are now captives of war, prisoners of war. And I know what happened. Lot said, you know, I've got to do better. I can't do this. I've got to do better. I've got to repent. Did Lot do that? Okay. Just Lot, y'all, a righteous man, according to the scriptures, is doing these things. I can just hear the Pharisees. I can just hear the Pharisees say it. Why? I can just hear the Pharisees saying, why, if Lot were really burnt spot in the floor saved, he would not do that. Yeah. Y'all ever heard anything like that? If he was really saved, you know what happened? Uncle Abraham went and rescued Lot. See, now Lot's done got himself into a predicament over here where Uncle Abraham has to go get him and fetch him out of being a prisoner of war. And you remember Abraham gathers up his 300 and some odd of his men and arms them and goes and recaptures Lot and his family. And this is on the way home from that is when Abraham met that mysterious individual, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the king of peace. And Melchizedek comes out there with bread and wine. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. And I've talked about that a couple, 3 weeks ago. You remember that one, don't you? All right. So that now we got Lot rescued. And surely he's going to learn his lesson now, right? Think about it, y'all. He done been whipped. He done been captured. He's been a prisoner of war. His uncles had to come deliver him. He's going to learn his lesson now. Don't forget, this is a just man. The Bible calls him righteous. Do you realize? I mean, grace is so free. Grace is so amazing. Grace is so astounding that a man like this can still go to heaven because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you all understand? The only righteousness that actually is righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. You either have the imputed righteousness of Christ or you have no righteousness at all because you have none of your own. Grace is so free. So many people are going to go to heaven who, like Lot, do not deserve it, that people are scandalized that grace can be so free. People are absolutely scandalized that there are going to be people in heaven who literally, truly, really, and exponentially do not deserve to be there. But it's all by the grace of Christ. I say, if grace doesn't blow your mind, maybe you're not understanding grace yet. This is a just man living a wicked life. Oh, I give God the glory. I praise God and Christ for the imputed righteousness of Christ this morning with all my heart. Do you understand? Listen to me. One day, Lot will stand before God, holy and without blame, before God in love, because of the imputed righteousness of Christ that Lot not only did nothing to earn, he could not earn, and certainly did not deserve. Can you say amen? Amen. This is the grace of Christ. Now I will say, Lot would have enjoyed his life better if he'd have done better. Lot didn't have a whole lot of what we would call, in the New Testament, what we would call the abundant life. You know, the Lord said, I came that they might have life and had it more abundantly. Lot didn't have a lot of that. He winds up in a cave. All his family dead, no owning, no home. Clothes on his back, that's all he's got. Living in a cave. Anybody want to live in a cave? I won't even sleep on the ground when Becky and the girls go camping. I'm not living in a cave if I can help it. Wouldn't you much rather have your comfortable home than a cave? That's what Lot was reduced to, because this descent, you see, he just kept making the wrong decision, poor decision, carnal decision, one right after another. Okay. Now you think, well, you know, Lot's going to get it figured. He's going to do better now, right? Now he's learned his lesson now. I mean, Uncle Abraham had to come rescue him. He's learned his lesson now, right? Genesis 19. This, I hesitate to read this. It's just so shocking and horrible. Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. I understand that statement there, Lot sat in the gate, to mean that he is now like an alderman in the city, a judge. So he started out in the plain, moved to the city, and now he's a leader in this wicked city. And of course, what's going on in the meanwhile, God has appeared to Abraham and told him he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And by the way, the God of the olden times is just the same today. God is not, he's not any more pleased with what they were doing now than he was then. Okay, but God has appeared to Abraham and said, I'm going to destroy the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain. And you remember that story, Abraham whittles him down to size. Abraham says, well, what if there are 50 righteous? And the Lord said, I'll spare the whole city for 50 righteous. Remember that? Abraham whittles him down to 10, 40, 30, 20, and ultimately 10. Now I want you to let that, by the way, my brothers and sisters, that is the salt of the earth principle. That is, righteous people, people like you, living a godly, righteous life, unnoticed by the world, God notices. And it has a preserving influence on the culture in which you live. As I've said to you over and over, I put more faith, more stock in the godly living of the folks of Point Remove Church to preserve America than all the politics you can stack up. That's the salt of the earth principle. 10 people would have saved the whole place. And Sodom and Gomorrah, they were no little bitty cities. Well, God does much exceeding abundantly above that which Abraham can ask or think. And even though there aren't 10 righteous, he takes the 4 righteous people out of there before he destroys the place. 2 angels that come to Sodom at even. These are men, by the way. These angels are in the form of men. They have supper. They spend the night with Lot. Spend the night with him. He says, come in here. They stay there in his house. In verse 2, he presses on them. They have supper with him in verse 3. They go to bed and rest in verse 4. And then the men of Sodom come past the city about and pound on the door and say, Lot, those 2 men that came in there, bring them out here that we may know them. Everybody understand what that means? Yes. These are angels of God. And that's how wicked the people in the city of Sodom are. They nearly broke the door down. Lot went out to talk with him, and Lot is so far gone, at this point, he offers his daughters to these wicked men. I hate to say that. Y'all listening to me? Hey, y'all listening? That man that did that was a just man, a righteous man, according to the scriptures. Can you believe it? It's hard to believe, isn't it? Well, of course, those guys, they're about to knock the door down. The angels actually reach out and grab Lot and bring him into the house to save his life. And then the next day, the angels are going to destroy the city, just like God said they were going to do, and like they did. Verse 12, Genesis 19. Lot just can't make up his mind to make the right decision. Poor decision, weak decision after weak decision. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? You got anybody else here besides the people here? Son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever hast house and city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. Tell his sons-in-law what's fixing to happen. Which married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. How much of a witness does he have to his sons-in-law? How much does his word mean to his sons-in-law? This is just Lot's descent. I remind you, This was a just man and a righteous man, and he is his body, his soul and spirit are in heaven as we speak. Can you believe grace is that free? Can you? Now, he's suffering terribly. His family's suffering because of him, too. These people are fixing to be burnt up in the city. Okay. And when the morning arose, verse 15, then the angels hastened Lot. Said, okay, hurry up, Lot. Hasten, that's what that means. Hurry up. Oh, the Bible, you know, the Bible talks about quickening. You know, most of the time quickening means to give life. But it also talks about, you know, you can get quickened. David said, quicken me. He wasn't praying to be born again. He was saying, Lord, I need to be sped up a little bit. You know, my dad used to quicken me a little bit. Anybody ever been quickened a little bit with a rod? I sure have. Hurry up, Lot. Have you ever known anybody just dragging around, can't make up their minds when the decision ought to be obvious? When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters. Four people. 10 would have saved the city. The 4 that were righteous, God got out. Now watch how he does it, though. And then the angel hastened to Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Get out of Dodge. Hurry up. What are you waiting on? Verse 16, and a while he lingered. Bad decision after bad decision with God. Listen to me. With God's authorized angels telling him what to do, he will not make up his mind to do it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do God's children ever do that? Yes, they do. Do you see why I will for the rest of my life insist that salvation is by grace, not according to our works? Praise the Lord is right. And while he lingered, he's dawdling for crying out loud. I mean, what's he thinking? I mean, you know, well, maybe I need to get this or that, or what am I going to do? I can't make up my mind. And while he lingered, he's dawdling. Now the angels say, get out, because these angels are men in the forms of men, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. So the way I get this is each angel grabbed 2 people. Total 4. Is this interesting, y'all, or what? Can y'all imagine this is in the Bible? All right, let me read that verse again. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, say amen. What did he deserve? Probably to be destroyed. Is the Lord ever merciful to us when we disobey? Yes. Are you all with me? They grabbed him, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. You want to know what I think they did? I think the angels flew them out of the city and set them outside the gates. That's what I believe happened. Isn't that something? Well, it may not have happened. Maybe they just weaved their way out. Whatever, how they got out of there. And then the Lord rains fire and brimstone on those cities. Can you, my friends, this is a just man according to 2 Peter, a righteous man who just can't make up his mind to do what God tells him to do, even when impending judgment is facing him. Of course, God's children never do that. God's children never do that. I've never done it. Whew. Whew. Y'all starting to understand salvation is by grace? May I say, Lot was chosen by God and put in Christ before the foundation of the world. And Jesus Christ stood as his surety from before the foundation of the world, which means Jesus was the one that God held responsible to pay for the sin of Lot. God put the sin of Lot on Christ's account from before the foundation of the world, so that Lot never was held accountable to pay the sin debt he is here incurring from God. Christ paid the debt. You say, well, but that's bad. He's bad. Well, if you think about it from the eternal point of view, you're no worse off than any of the rest of us. You may not have done that, but what we've done is just as bad from the eternal point of view. Now, I know. Let me pause. I know the Bible also teaches there are worse sins than other sins. There's no question. Some sins cause us more grief while we live than other ones. There's no doubt about that. The Lord even said that somebody's guilty of a worse sin. The Lord said that. So I know there's no question. But from the eternal point of view, all it took is one sin to send you to hell. By the way, whose sin was that? The sin of Adam, the original or first sin. Can you even imagine that while Lot is living this life, God is looking at him through the shed blood of Christ that would happen years later and viewing him innocent because Christ stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world? It's too good to be true. But it is true. That's the thing about the gospel. It's really too good to be true. The Lord rained the fire and all that. And I just. To me, it's just almost incredible. It's just hard to believe that Lot couldn't make up his mind to leave Sodom under these circumstances. He's just dawdling, can't make up his mind, indecisive. Indecisive. Keeps on making these poor decisions, one right after another. And if it hadn't been, y'all listen, if it hadn't been, apparently, for the power of those angels to physically deliver him out of the city, I guess he would have died in the city too. I'm sorry to say, it makes me think of so many children of God that make poor decision after poor decision after poor decision and wake up one day and their life's a wreck and they can't figure out why. I hate to have to say that, but it's so true. We should live our lives according to the teaching of God's word, shouldn't we? Those angels telling Lot what he ought to do. Okay, now Lot sure enough learned his lesson this time, didn't he? He learned his lesson. You know, how stubborn can man be? Pretty stubborn, amen. Let me ask you, how stubborn are we to admit we've been taught wrong? To admit we might possibly, perhaps, maybe be incorrect about something. Okay, well, you remember when they're leaving, angels say, look, get out of here, don't look back. What does Lot's wife do? Looks back, becomes a pillar of salt. I understand that to mean that she was destroyed in the rain that happened. Most Bible scholars and stuff think that where Sodom and Gomorrah were is now the salt sea over there. Because God said, there's not going to anything ever grow here again. That's God's opinion of Sodom and Gomorrah. Nothing even going to grow there. Well, Genesis 19. Oh, me. Verse 30, I guess. Okay, now I want you to think of what's going on here. Lot's wife is dead. She's a pillar of salt. His sons, right? His sons-in-law, which married his daughters, are all dead. Destroyed in the fire. His home is destroyed. His city is destroyed. The entire area there is destroyed. The cities of the plain. I hate to read, anyways, Genesis 20 though. I'm sorry, Genesis 19. And it came, verse 29. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. Please notice, God sends Lot out of the midst of the overthrow because of Abraham, not Lot. Part of that is because Abraham made intercession on behalf of the righteous people that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. By the way, that's God in Christ doing that for us, by the way. Y'all seeing that? And Lot went out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. Where did I just read? Did I read 29? Yes. Yeah. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Lot dwelt there. So here's Lot. I mean, he's reduced to poverty now, basically, right? No family, no possessions, no anything. Y'all, that's why I called this sermon just Lot's descent. He's not getting better. He is not progressively being sanctified to more and more holiness. And Lot went up out of the Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in the cave, he and his two daughters. That's where he's living now. Okay, I don't think I'm going to read any more of that. Okay, I'm going to quit early this morning because this is such a sad story. But let me remind you, I tell you what, let's do. Let's read 2 Peter again as we close. Let's read 2 Peter. I want to remind you, it's almost impossible to believe. It's almost impossible to believe. And by the way, some people will not believe that Lot was a child of God. You see, the ultimate point of this sermon this morning is for you to realize that you just can't look at some individual and conclude for sure that they're not going to go to heaven. Now, I think there are maybe some notorious people that we can think that way, but in the case of Lot right here, you can't conclude that. Now, I do want to say this also. I think we have much more justification to conclude that people are God's child than we do to conclude that they are not. That is, if you see an individual who brings forth the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, all that. That word love there in Galatians 5 means love for God, by the way. It doesn't mean love for a cheeseburger, love for your pet. You know, if a person, see, because if we understand depravity, we know that we do not by nature love God. We by nature are at enmity with God, at variance with God. If someone loves God, they had to have been born of God first in order to do that. Therefore, they bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, and I conclude that person is a child of God, even if they are living in a cave after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their possessions have been destroyed. Can you say amen to that, my friends? It's unbelievable. When you see someone that has faith in God, that trusts God to do right, someone who knows that God is the judge of the earth and he's going to judge righteously, someone that knows that is a child of God. Let me give you another one. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ will be born again if they do this or so. Nope. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, because they could not believe that Jesus is the Christ if they weren't. That is not a conditional statement, it's just a description. Unreal, isn't it? Unreal. Can God's children die of AIDS? Can they die drunk? Can they die destitute? Now, I don't want that to happen for any of them. But can it happen? Has it happened in the Bible? Has it happened? We're looking at a classic case right here. In fact, Lot may be one of the most extreme biblical cases about an individual that made the descent into wickedness as they proceeded in their lives. And yet we're just. Okay, let me finish up here. What a crazy sermon. Well, I'm going to read you 4 or 5 verses here. I've got 11 minutes. Let's read a little bit more of 2 Peter 2, verse 4. Start in verse 4, just read down here, and then we'll close. And if God spared not the angels that sinned, God didn't spare the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. You believe God did that? No question. And delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spared not the old world. We talked about the flood here a while back in our sermon series on Genesis. Spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world upon the ungodly. Did God do that? Did God actually destroy 1 billion people and the entire world with a flood of water? This is the God of the Bible. The idea that God is just love, love, love. You're sitting up there passing out Werther's originals. Or that he's, you know, a Santa Claus is incorrect. As we're told in the book of Romans, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. Goodness, severity. Brother Harold taught us 30 years ago, God is a stickler for details. Say amen. That's why we're supposed to worship the way God says. He's a stickler for detail. Okay. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow. Do y'all really believe God did that? That's great. There's evidence over there he did it. Making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Sodom and Gomorrah is an example to people that they shouldn't live like that? Absolutely. How many people on CNN are going to mention that? No one. And what else did God do? He delivered just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Is there much evidence that we saw in his descent? There's hardly any evidence of that. But the scriptures are explicitly clear. See, here's what you got to realize. Y'all listening? When God inspired Peter to write this, God knew the heart of Lot better than anybody else. God knew the internal workings of Lot better than anybody else. And so God could inspire Peter to write this and it'd be absolutely true, even though we cannot understand how it can happen. Can you say amen? Oh my goodness. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day and with their unlawful deeds. And I'm going to tell you, Lot would have been a lot better off if he'd have done what's right. Made the right decision. Followed God's leader, he'd have been a lot better off, wouldn't he? Y'all listen to me. He might would have even saved the lives of some of his family members if he had followed the commandments of God more nearly. Okay, I'm going to end right there.